Welcome to the Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast. My name is Ben. I'm the owner of the Watercolors Aquarium Gallery.
My name is Amy. I manage the retail side of the store.
And my name's Charles, and I'm just kind of along for the ride, I guess.
Not along for the ride anymore. You work here now, like, for real, like a grown-up and everything.
Yeah, but I don't want to be a grown-up.
Okay.
I just want to play a fish, you know?
That works.
So somehow I've been keeping fish for about 30 years, and I still like to talk about it, and that's what we're going to do here today. Today, the topic is 5 fish you won't see at the Watercolors Aquarium Gallery.
We each came up with our own lists. I'm really interested to see how much overlap there is. I tried to come up with stuff that I didn't think that you guys would necessarily say, but we do share some opinions.
I mean, I literally picked stuff based on my personal experience, what I'm used to seeing people ask for. Like, some stuff gets higher on the list just because it's been asked about more.
Well, that's relevant, though. Like, the things that people want are the things we need to be paying the most attention to.
Yeah.
I base mine very much on if I walk into a store and I see these fish for sale, I get frustrated.
And I will say I did go and look up the list to the best of my ability of the stores that are in the area. You know, even the big boxes, the chains, there are a handful of small stores in the area. And I really didn't find much that I felt deserved to be on this list. So the two big boxes, they didn't have anything that's on my list. I don't think that they had anything that's on your list, but I did look it up, so I'll let you know if they do.
I will say that this is not the first pet store I've worked at.
Right.
That's a lot of my experience from that has shaped my list.
Yeah.
Personally.
A lot of the smaller stores don't have their stock list online.
Yeah.
We do, but a lot of places don't. But right. I did check to see, and most places are doing pretty well on keeping appropriate aquarium fish.
3 of them. Okay, I have to admit I cheated a little bit. I have 5 and an alternate.
Okay.
Because I tried to narrow it down. I narrowed it down from 9, so I thought I did pretty good by having 5 and an alternate. And 3 of those, I definitely saw 2 of them at a big box store I was at a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And I don't remember if the third one was there, but I'm pretty sure there were 3 of them on my list that were... Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, because for one of mine, I put like a genus. Because I was like,
okay.
Really, none of those should
right.
be.
Right.
Well, since it seems like we can't keep our words to ourselves anymore, who wants to start with one of the items on their list?
Well, do we want to go in the worst to the best to the worst, a random 5?
I would like to go 5-1.
5-1.
Yeah.
I don't have mine ordered at all, so I'm just going to pick randomly.
Sort of in order.
Okay.
All right, so I'll go first.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to put the clown knife fish as a fish that should not, well, a fish that, here's how we can say it, where we're maintaining a little bit of political correctness. A fish that I would never want to see here.
Right.
Yeah.
The clown knife fish is one of those. They are really cool as juveniles. I've seen them for sale, 50 or 60 of them in a tank, and maybe that's exaggeration, but many of them for sale. The big thing with the clown knife fish, actually, this is the big thing with most of the fish on my list. Not all of them, but it's simply about the size. They can get over 3 feet long. This will be a reoccurring theme. The world record clown knife fish, guess where that was caught? No, it wasn't in their native habitat.
Probably Florida.
It's always Florida.
Exactly.
Poor Florida.
And that comes into the two reasons why this fish will never be sold through Watercolors. One, there are very few people that can handle it. And 2, when people get tired of a fish or a fish gets too big for them to handle, they think letting it go is an acceptable solution. And that's how it ended up in the waters in Florida. So the world record all tackle clown knife fish was caught in Lake Iguana near Delray Beach, Florida, and it was 14 pounds.
Wow. Do you have the length on there too?
It did not give the length.
14 pounds.
14
big
pounds.
Fish.
Yeah, 14
wow.
pounds.
Wow. That one's a tricky one too, because the black ghost knife is a fine aquarium fish, and I've never seen a clown knife that's bigger than the biggest black ghost knife I've seen.
I've seen them a good 17 inches.
I've just never known anybody who has had one who has gotten it even close to its acceptable full size.
Well, one of the tricky things about them too is that they don't look like they should be, but they're pretty stiff bodied, so they don't turn well.
No, they don't.
They're not gonna squish themselves in a hole like an eel. They're
yeah.
just giant chunks.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a great one. I agree with that.
Was that on anybody else's list?
Nope.
Wow.
It was considered.
Okay.
But it did not make mine.
Well, I'll do one of mine, and just to break the ice on something a little more controversial, I'll pull out one of those ones, because I put Flowerhorn on my list.
Interesting.
And I had a couple of different reasons for coming to that. First of all, because, and I was trying to avoid doing this for the most part, but I hate that fish.
100% agree with you.
And I don't judge anybody for liking them. They're really a striking, stunning fish. If you see one that's really nice, it makes an impact on you just because of how different and wild they look. But part of my reason for it is the availability of finding an actual good one. Getting them from breeders that are actually doing their job well makes such a difference, and I don't think that that's really available to just to fish stores or even to hobbyists for the most part. It's about finding that one person. They're more like a purebred dog than anything. You need to know that they're being bred well. But the thing that I think that be a bigger thing for you guys is probably just the hybridization. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's about 90% of it for me.
Yeah, and I have a little bit of issues against just breeding things that are less effective at their lifestyle than others. And that's a personal moral thing that I think different people feel different ways about.
Yeah,
that could open a whole really cool, huge can of worms. And you can get into the balloon molly and
right?
The ugh, balloon ram.
Yeah.
But why is that different than a Ranchu goldfish?
Well,
that's essentially...
To bring
what
me to my next point, the Black Ranchu is also on my list.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So I can come back to that if you want to do one of yours, Charles.
I picked one that I genuinely think you guys might be surprised this one's on my list. I put arowanas.
Okay.
They are far too popular. I have never seen anyone on the private level keeping them in an aquarium I felt did them justice. It's a 3 foot long, active, swimming, strong fish.
They eat birds.
They eat birds.
They eat birds in flight, not water birds sitting on the top.
They really shouldn't be kept in glass, in my opinion, period, because they're capable of breaking. They are a true tank buster. I've heard of them jumping through glass.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if I've ever heard of an arowana dying of natural causes. It's always, it hit the floor.
I think they live to be like 60 or 70
yeah.
years. So.
Yeah.
I think it's technically two genera, but I'm saying all arowana. I don't think any of them belong in a private Aquarius tank.
I can't say I know that genus well enough to know the range.
Right, yeah. The black arowana, I think that one maxes out at 3 feet, and really that's a 25 to 30 inch fish.
Yeah, even then I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah. There are other fish that are in the 25 to 30 inch range that...
I feel better.
Yeah.
So, for example, I was talking to Amy about this. I get much more fishy about active lifestyle fish in aquaria than I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a conversation more common in saltwater than freshwater.
Yeah.
Right.
So, the Wobegon we have downstairs, I feel a lot less guilty putting that 2 foot long shark in there than
mm-hmm.
I did when we had Tangs and Angels in that same tank
mm-hmm.
because their lifestyles are just so different.
I cannot disagree with that at all. And that's why an eel that gets 32 or 33 inches long is fine even in a, I don't want to say a small tank, but a small-ish tank.
On the scale of 35-inch fish,
Yeah. My hesitation with putting the arowanas on that list is that they're expensive.
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to be willing to spend the amount of money that it takes to get a really good arowana, they might be willing to house it properly.
Maybe, but I'm also the type of person that doesn't think 300 gallons is enough for them. And that seems to be the aquarium standard. Personally, I don't think that's enough.
Yeah, I can see it.
Well, that does lead us into the conversation. And it's if we're going to put ourselves out there as saying things like that, does that mean, and for any of these, does that mean that we wouldn't get that fish for somebody?
Someone comes up to me and says, I have a 1,500 gallon tank. Here are the dimensions of
right.
it. I would like to put an arowana in it. And I'll say, sure.
Find you one.
Let's find you one.
I think I agree with that.
But that's...
It's the same for, we would get a flower horn for somebody, but it's not going to... It's not going to be the Instagram flower horn. It's going to be what our wholesalers have for it, not unless we had a breeder for them, which we don't currently.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not the norm an aquarium keeping right now.
Yeah.
That's just the reality.
Yeah. They're fish that you're very unlikely to see here, but have a conversation with us about it. We're always open to a conversation.
Definitely.
Or, for example, like, we've made so many advances in breeding saltwater fish because we had to get overcome that, well, you can only have one of them in a tank.
Right.
You're
right.
Never
right.
going to breed with just one.
Yeah.
Right.
So you need those innovators, but you need to justify it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it's all about. All right, so what's one of your next...
Well, since we're on the topic of big, the tiger shovel nose. I don't know if you're familiar with tiger shovel nose.
I have had to manhandle a 2-foot long one.
Oh, a baby.
Like physically handle it?
Like physically
yeah.
to move
yeah.
it. And that was... It almost made my list because of that experience.
To be fair, I would have loved to have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be cool to see. And some of the ones that are here, it's interesting to be around a creature like that.
No, I just thought it would be hilarious to watch Charles.
We didn't have anything else that it would fit in, so we were just like...
For a big fish like that, and that
like,
is kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Just, I guess we're just picking it up.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So they are considered one of the true giants of the freshwater fish world. 8 feet is a common size for a tiger shovel nose. Honestly, it's been a while since I've seen one of those for sale in another store, but I don't really spend that much time in other stores. I don't know that I've ever met anyone capable of keeping an 8-foot fish in an aquarium.
Yeah.
I have some friends that have some monster tanks out there. They've got borderline indoor ponds that might even meet Charles's standard for an arowana. I don't know, we'll see. Not a single one of them could properly house a tiger shovel nose. Some of them have them.
No.
But not a single one of them could properly house a tiger shovel nose. So.
There is something a little weird about the idea of having something in your house that could swallow you whole.
Or part of you.
Yeah.
Or at least
or
part
of
you.
You know, because even the little one, I was like, there's a distinct possibility it could take, it wouldn't be able to bite my hand off, but my hand would fit in its mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say that the only reason it didn't make my list was because there are things, despite its size, like I said, more popular. I don't really get asked often about a tiger shovel nose.
Okay. That could be me going back to my days, younger days of going to aquarium stores all the time back in the 90s, where I was at just about every aquarium store in West Michigan just about once a month. And that was a pretty common fish. And before I knew any better, it was one that, man, I really hope I can get a tiger shovel nose.
Right.
But yes, that one. So I would put it on my list much less desirable than an arowana.
Yeah.
Well, I can talk about the black ranch now if we want.
Yeah, let's
this
hear that.
This is one that maybe it's going to be split between people who don't know what I'm talking about and people who strongly disagree with me.
So is it specifically the black ranch?
Ranchus in general a little bit, but blacks specifically because they're more prone to a specific issue.
Yeah.
But it is considered a minor flaw for a black ranchu to be blind among goldfish keepers, goldfish showers, people who do goldfish. Either without eyes, either the wen has been trained to cover the eyes just because of how they're bred, and a fish can live blind. They can smell, they can dig around, but there's just something that just rubs me the wrong way about bringing something into existence, knowing that it's going to have a disability and not caring.
Ooh, that raises some really big questions.
Because I'm like, well, and as long as we're on the topic of this, let's be clear that we're clearly making a distinction here between this and like a blind cave tetra.
Right.
Something that has adapted to have a highly trained lateral line system.
Right.
So that even in a tank with fish with eyes, they are competitive eaters because their lateral line is that specific.
Right. And they can absolutely, I would even say it wouldn't affect lifespan, but it's a choice to make that exist when you could have chosen not to.
Yeah.
So it's specifically the fish that are going to have that kind of disability, not necessarily some of the really exotic fancy goldfish.
Right. If it can see and if it can swim, What's the matter with having something that looks ornamental specifically for that reason? There's really no harm to it. I mean, even as somebody who buys it, and it's not a publicized thing. You
right.
could go on a goldfish breeding website and buy one, and it probably wouldn't even say that it's blind or it doesn't have eyes. You might be able to see it in the picture, but it's a minor defect, so they're not going to put that.
I've even seen in forums, like, people being like, is this normal? And everyone's just like, yeah, it's normal.
Yeah, or it comes down hard on them saying, you should have done your research. We all knew it would come like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's a specific example to bring out. And there's a lot you could get into in ornamental breeding.
Yeah.
Of overly long tails and bettas that make it so they can't really swim. And it's an ethical conversation. People are always going to have different opinions about it. But my opinion is, why would I buy that when I could support somebody who's breeding whole fish?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that one at all. Yeah.
Yeah, there are probably some people who will.
Yep. Yep.
They are going to be. That's just the
That's fine.
Of
I would
discussion.
Love to hear it. I think it's an interesting argument to have, even with somebody who doesn't.
I mean, even
me.
At this very table, where you're not agreeing on what's the minimum tank size for an arowana.
Right.
You know? Like,
yep.
Yes. And my opinion on that is, I don't know, I don't want one. All right. Well, I think it's Charles's turn.
Yep.
I put down iridescent sharks.
Yep.
I am so used to seeing them everywhere. And this is a fish that can get, I think the max recorded size is like 4.5 feet and like 90 plus pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an active swimming fish too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
That fish is absolutely on my list as well. I have been keeping fish for a very long time. When you see them in home size aquariums, they always have damaged snouts. They're always stunted. It makes me so sad because I love this fish. It's such a beautiful... It's a fish that made me appreciate real sharks.
Right. And it's so unique looking.
Oh,
there's
so
nothing
cool.
else that really looks exactly like an iridescent shark.
Oh, but there is. You remember we had the substitute?
Oh,
do
yeah.
Because you have to remember my reaction when I saw those. Because
yes.
I legitimately got a little upset.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I didn't know that species existed.
Yes.
Does anybody remember what species it was?
We have it.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
We'll have to find it.
It was called, the common name, it was called something like mini shark cat or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I look that
mm-hmm.
up, if it'll just come up.
But like, legitimately, I came downstairs and saw it, and I turned to Ben, and I was like, why do we have iridescent sharks in the store? And he goes, that's a different species.
Yeah.
It's a pseudotropius was the genus.
Pseudotropius, there we go.
Not pseudotropius. But yeah,
tropius.
Those get at most 10 centimeters, so...
Yeah, they're cute little guys. They have longer whiskers than
it's like
than the penguins.
Yeah.
For us Americans out there.
Those of us who don't speak the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's frustrating with that fish because there is such a good substitute.
Yeah.
And we've seen them on the wholesale list once. We've had them in the store. They were easy to take care of.
Yeah.
Of course, we sold them quickly because they were so cool.
And there are so many gorgeous catfish out there that would fill that niche and have a similar sort of look to them that I think it's just once something gets the word shark on it, that's it.
Oh, heck yeah.
Everybody will buy it just because it's called that, even though it has no relationship to any sort of actual shark and catfish.
If you want something with the name shark on it, get a red-tail shark. They
get
like 6-7 inches, and they're kind of like a loach, but... A little spunkier.
Yeah, like a sassy loach.
A sassy loach. I like it.
Yeah, those are great fish.
Yeah.
But yep. I guess it begs the question, if we want to get into it, iridescent sharks are a food fish.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like I know where you guys stand on this, but I think it needs to be discussed. Why is it better for them to be killed in mass to be eaten versus collected in mass to be raised and live for a little while?
Because they're tortured.
So, I'm a person that eats a lot of fish. And a lot of that is partially because I am just, fish are what I'm most familiar with. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm most comfortable making judgments on what I will and won't eat in that respect. It's harder for me to make that decision with something like cows. Like, I just don't know cows anywhere near as well as I know fish.
It's funny because it's the opposite
kind
of what a lot of people's perspectives
yeah.
are, which is the more I understand it, the less I want to... I'm not accusing you of anything,
yeah.
but to exploit it.
But also my perspective is a lot of my schooling is in predatory animals,
right.
specifically. So it's hard for me to say, oh, I shouldn't eat that because blah, 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 when I have spent a good portion of my life studying animals that make a living eating other animals. But when you're choosing to keep things in an aquarium, no one keeps fish because they want to do them harm.
Right.
I generally think people want to do the right thing if
mm-hmm.
they know what the right thing is. So if the right thing is well, it's going to stunt it and hurt it to keep it in a tank.
And maybe it's a good idea to talk about what does happen to a large fish when it's not kept in the appropriate environment. Physically, how is it suffering?
Yeah, the iridescent shark, because they are such an active fish, as I said earlier, you always see them with bumped and bruised noses. There's one of the issues right there.
Right.
And even a 3 or 4 inch iridescent shark in a 20-gallon tank, which there are many fish at 3 or 4 inches I would say would be just fine in a 20-gallon tank.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to end up with bruised noses because they get startled and they're really fast.
Yeah.
And they hit that wall so hard that they end up with a raw nose. So there's one of the things.
Yeah, that's a shame.
The other would be the larger fish produces more waste. Waste reduces water quality. Water quality stunts growth.
And I don't really have a lot of science to back this up, but I do also wonder with like an active species like that, if it stunts their growth just not being active.
Right.
That's probably true.
Like, because I...
Well, and stress.
That has to... Indirectly not being able to live the lifestyle that your species has been doing for however long it's existed, like, that's gotta do something.
And we hesitated to anthropomorphize or to make animals seem like they're humans, but stress as a negative factor on health is so well documented.
It's so easy to quantify.
Yeah, it's just an equation. How much stress you have, you're going to be less healthy. Like.
Well, it's even easier than I think a lot of people think it is. So cortisol is a stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to do sample of tissue and be like, how much cortisol is in their tissue? And just go, oh man, this animal's really freaked out.
Oh, yeah. But see, if you're going to get into cortisol and stress hormones, you can't do that without talking about clownfish. Because there wouldn't be more clownfish if there wasn't stressed out clownfish. But that's a topic for a different day.
It's a good point, though, in this discussion.
Right.
Is stress inherently bad? And for clownfish, it's actually more of a benefit.
Necessary. Absolutely necessary.
And that's true. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about a group of organisms that has 25,000 species, it's very hard to make generalizations. Like, within the last few years, figured out if, like, hammerhead sharks get a cortisol level over a certain point, they will die. Just, their heart just stops.
They need passer angelfish to keep them clean and healthy.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I hijacked your iridescent shark thing because iridescent shark was yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was both of yours, so it was a good discussion.
It
wasn't on mine, but because I knew it would be on both of yours.
Were there any other points that you wanted to make about iridescent sharks, or did we cover that?
They're big, active fish. They just shouldn't be in a tank.
Yep.
Not at least not at the private level.
Right. Yep. All right.
What's next?
Has to be said. Has to be on the list. The pacu.
It's on mine. That's literally next on my list.
Is it? Perfect. So you'll never guess where the world record pacu was caught. And no, it was not in the Amazon River system.
Massachusetts.
Wrong. Come on, Amy.
I was like, probably Florida.
Definitely in Florida.
Always
the world
Florida.
Record pacu was caught in Florida. It weighed 52 pounds.
Wow. That's shocking to me. I know that they get big, but 52
Huge.
Pounds, that's like... It's pulling a child out of the river.
I remember the zoo here had a full-grown pacu in one of their tanks. Not appropriately. It was too small of a tank. It was only like a 600-gallon tank.
Right.
But this fish was about 3 feet in diameter. And it was rough looking. We used to jokingly call them trash can fish. Not because they go in the trash, but because they get as big as an aluminum trash can lid. It's just a massive fish. No one can... really housed that fish. And it used to be the major chains almost always had pacu.
Yeah. As far as I know, they don't currently, they're not listed on their websites.
Okay.
I don't know if you would see them in
they're
them
fairly easy
time.
To get.
Yeah.
And I'm very aware of the fact that in certain states, piranhas are illegal. Pacu are more popular in those states because they have that same look when they're small.
Right.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people get pacu as an alternative to piranha, but piranha are actually a better alternative to pacu.
And there's a much easier alternative to both.
Yeah.
Silver dollars.
Right.
Are little...
Thank you.
Little pacu. I mean, they're great.
They look exactly the same as a small pacu.
I know when we...
And there's really pretty silver dollars, too.
There's gorgeous ones.
Yeah.
When we have silver dollars traded in, we have to look really close to make sure somebody's not trying to trade in a pacu because they're that similar. The reason that they make my list so strongly is because big box stores carry them.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, they would have the minimum tank size of 75 gallons for a pocket.
Trying to jam a three-foot fish.
I was like, I just realized, audio, and I'm shaking my head, so like...
There's been a lot of head shaking going on.
It's that they're that readily available at a big box store.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell silver dollars, too.
Yeah.
They would probably just sell more silver dollars if they didn't carry pocket.
Mm-hmm.
The wholesale list that we get from our freshwater wholesalers, they almost always have pacu.
That's true.
And iridescent sharks and clown knives on the list.
The recommended tank size thing is always hilarious to me. Like, they only need to be mostly covered in water.
Yeah.
I should say, at least on the subject of trade-ins and things like that, oftentimes if you see a fish like that in a zoo like ours, it's because a hobbyist tried to care for it and couldn't and said, please take it. And I think that's usually where those things come from.
Yeah. The flip side from a hobbyist perspective is that rarely ever happens. Aquariums and zoos, when they take one, it's because they feel bad and feel like they have to do something.
Right.
They have room for it.
If they have room somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just an act of graciousness because they're passionate about animals. So some people will get fish like that and have, well, I'll just drop it off at the local zoo when I'm done with it or something like that.
I've heard that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and they think they're being philanthropic.
Yeah. They are always looking for...
We'll donate it.
Yeah.
No.
The zoos don't want your giant fish. They want the ones that they want.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, does anyone ever think about the fact that nurse sharks are so ubiquitous in aquariums around the country? There's a reason why. And there's a reason why they're not looking for more nurse sharks anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's because they make great aquarium fish.
Yeah.
If you have a 14,000 gallon aquarium.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Amy, who are you going to piss off? I mean, what's next on your list?
All right, I'll do one that I guess all of these are going to piss somebody off.
Well, yes.
I have red-tailed catfish on mine. Not as big as a couple of the other ones. They get up to about 4.
So we already talked about my number 3 indirectly. You just hit my number 2.
Okay.
Just due to ridiculous popularity of that fish.
And it is stunning, but part of why I put it on my list as opposed to some of the other big fish is because when I was first starting to learn about fish, I could not separate that fish in my mind from the red-tailed shark. Which is the one that gets giant that we don't want or don't want to sell? Red-tailed catfish are expensive, but...
They get 3-4 feet long, but they're hefty.
They can get to 100 pounds.
I've heard of them up to 150.
Where the world record red-tailed catfish was caught?
Alaska.
No, actually, it was caught in the Amazon. For real, was caught in its natural habitat. That's because they can naturally, easily get that big.
Right.
Yeah. You looked so smug that I was like, I'm not going to guess Florida. I'm going to guess Texas. what's south and warm?
Yeah. That one was in my alternate list as well. Not my official alternate because I do have an alternate. But that one was, if we would have done 10, it definitely would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other consideration, and it is for some of these, but probably this one more than any we've said, except for your big catfish. But
yeah.
How do you grow out a fish like that? You get one at 3 inches. Everything you want to keep it with is giant, which is going to eat it. Mm-hmm. As soon as it gets to 6 inches, it will eat every other fish you might keep in a 75-gallon tank.
Yeah.
What do you do with it? Why would you... It just seems like such a project.
I have seen one case where someone has managed to properly house one, in my opinion. And they had a 1,500-gallon pond that was 2 feet deep, wide, and they're not a very active, they're an ambush predator.
Right.
So I feel a little less finicky about space and swimming space, but that's not the way most people who get these want to keep it, though.
Yeah, it's more doable than some others, but still not really doable.
Yep. Yeah.
It didn't make my list because I already had 2 giant catfish on the list.
Yeah.
And it is a more expensive fish.
Right.
So there's a higher likelihood. It is a less active fish, but still,
it's still huge.
It's huge. It's a monster.
Yeah.
It made my list because I previously worked in another store where we almost always had one in stock.
Right.
Because of popularity.
Yep.
And that bothered me.
Yep.
Yeah. At the most, it should be a special order after. You don't even sell somebody a non-living sports car without talking through, how do you drive this thing?
Right? Can I put regular in it?
Yeah, right? Exactly. So why would you just sell a fish to whatever random person walks off the street and says that they want it? Something being special order after talking through with the salesperson and with the staff. Hey, do you think this is a good fit for me? Or how do you think...
What's the stat? Like, most people who get into aquarium keeping get out within 18 months?
I believe 18 months is...
With stuff like that, we are really setting up a lot of people to fail.
Right.
And that's a problem. Like, it's a hobby. It's supposed to be fun, not frustrating. And you, every corner you turn, you...
are making a mistake.
Yeah.
Nobody gets out of it in 18 months because it's going so well.
Yeah. Like, sorry, I've done everything I thought I could do, so I'm done.
Yeah.
That's not why. Yeah. All right. Next.
You just took my number two.
Darn.
So.
Is that your last one?
I have one more, but I'm going to wait a little bit longer because... I genuinely think it won't be anyone else's list.
Okay.
I still have two more, so how many do you have?
Well, I have two more, but only because one of them is an alternate.
Well, do you want me to do my next one? Because that's another big one.
Yep.
I put koi.
Koi?
Yeah. I don't think that koi belong in an aquarium at all.
I agree.
I can agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
We don't sell pond stuff.
Right.
And really, most ponds aren't even a good fit for koi. They get 3 feet long.
Right.
And can live, well, average is more like 25 to 35, but... 50 to 200 has been recorded.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think that they don't belong in any tank.
No, I agree.
They belong in some ponds.
Some ponds. I agree.
Yeah.
I
generally feel that way with goldfish in general.
Yeah. I hesitate not putting common goldfish down. And you will see those here because we take them in as rescues all the time.
Right. Yeah. As rescues.
Yes.
Well, that's a good segue because I did put common goldfish on my list. I did. And actually, I put it as... feeder goldfish.
Okay, yes. You did guess my number one. was my number one.
Feeder goldfish, but both as feeder fish and as pets.
Yep.
So first we'll talk about as feeder fish. Why do we not carry feeder goldfish? Because they suck. No,
yes.
Because they are super unhealthy. They have the nutritional value of head lettuce.
Actually, I would argue they have less than that.
Less than that?
So they are a type of cyprinid
that
has thymidines within their flesh, which is an enzyme that breaks down vitamin B1. A lot of things that are fed feeder goldfish start having problems because they don't have vitamin B1 in their system anymore. It's not unusual for me to hear people say, oh, I've been feeding it this for like 2 years and then it just stopped eating. And I'm like, it's probably because it got basically lockjaw or like some sort of spinal problem that it just can't move anymore.
And for the record, Charles does have a great article about that. It's on the GVAP thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, I did write an article about feeder goldfish.
Yeah, so anybody who is interested in nutrition or feeding large fish or has fed feeder goldfish and wants to know why they shouldn't, go to the Grand Valley Aquarium Club page and look up Charles' article because it's really good.
It's in their newsletter, Tank Notes.
Yeah.
Yep, excellent. There are two fish I can think of that show up in the hobby that are almost impossible to get onto some kind of prepared food, which makes feeder fish completely unnecessary. So even if you get past the thymidines thing, where some fish are going to be susceptible to that and some fish just simply aren't going to be susceptible to that, there still is very little nutrition left compared to the wonderful array of prepared foods we have in the hobby. Almost all of the fish that we feed feeder fish to will take prepared foods, and it's so much healthier. And then you throw into the fact that goldfish are raised in these huge concentrated cesspools of disease, and kind of funny that we're talking about what happens if a whole bunch of organisms get together in one spot, how quickly disease can spread through those organisms.
One poop soup.
Yes. So the risk of introducing a disease to your favorite fish that you feed feeder fish to is huge. Go walk into a store that sells feeder fish and tell me how many times you walk in and see the tank full of feeder fish and don't see at least one or two dead ones in the bottom of it.
Yeah, and more like 10 to 30 if they haven't cleaned them in the last few hours.
Right, there's always dead ones. It's because they're so horribly unhealthy. The two fish, by the way, the needlefish and the South American leaffish are the two that are really tough to get onto prepared foods. We don't carry either of those fish here. I may try one someday because we're learning some new tricks to try and get some of those fish to eat.
And we've had success with ones that we didn't think would.
Yeah. Like, we got those peppermint pike head onto prepared foods.
Yeah.
Like, that, I'm still shocked that
They were getting frozen bloodworms, like, so easy.
Right. That makes me want to try the South American leaffish and the Asian needlefish.
Well, even if you must feed live fish, goldfish and feeder goldfish, just whether or not you make that distinction.
Right.
Terrible food.
Well, so you keep, I'm trying to get to my point here.
Oh, sorry.
Neither of those fish can eat goldfish.
Right, then that's true.
Feeder guppies is when I kept those fish. Feeder guppies is what we would feed those, because eventually the needlefish might get big enough to be able to eat some really small feeder goldfish, but it's not gonna be able to eat goldfish. So there's the whole feeder fish spiel. Some people have heard our feeder fish spiel, some people haven't. We do not do feeder goldfish, and we never will. They're bad.
And I've actually talked to somebody recently who quarantines all of his feeder goldfish. As in, you're taking the time to go out and get goldfish and treat them for everything and load them up on nutritional foods. And before feeding them, like, I looked at him and I was like, then why aren't you just keeping a guppy tank? Like,
Or feed them krill.
Yeah, if it's worth that much effort, then it's worth doing it right.
Yeah,
it's like that one predatory fish we recently had an experience with that was fed feeder goldfish, and then we started started giving him feeders like frozen silver sides and krill, and he's immediately like, oh, is this what flavor is like? He was so excited.
He was really excited.
The Oscar is the classic Oscars and piranhas, but Oscars are the classic, I get to get an Oscar so I can feed a feeder fish. Right, their main diet in the Amazon, which is where they're from, is crayfish. That's what they eat in the wild. That's what they're a specialized feeder for, which means feeding them frozen krill is really close to their natural diet. It's so, you get
and it's
so
great
much
for their color.
Oh yeah. The color
is amazing. It's pretty easy to pick out an Oscar that's been eating krill in its diet.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. The other side of feeder goldfish is people buy them because they're a 10 cent pet to go put in a fishbowl.
And I have worked at a chain pet store, and we would have people who would roll up once a week to pick up their new pets.
Yeah.
Buying 50 feeder goldfish for a 55-gallon tank at a time, telling them that they're going to die before you come back next week, and they say, they're cheap.
Could you imagine if people did that with a dog?
No,
hey,
I
bought a dog, but I got it cheap. I'll just get another one next week.
Here's my counter offer to that, though.
Okay.
Goldfish is something that can live to, like, 50, 60 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is an argument to be made that theoretically worse than doing that to a dog, though.
Right.
From that
standpoint.
If you
took all the emotional side of it out.
Yeah, you're talking about, if you're just talking strict, how many years are you cutting out of this thing's life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, and goldfish form relationships. They form friendships and learn tricks. So what makes their life so much less valuable than anything else?
And just to quick plug the whole 3-second memory thing, scientific evidence of at least a year-long memory, so...
Yeah. Anyone who has a goldfish knows that they are going to come up and beg every time you come up to feed.
Yeah.
So at least they have a 24-hour memory.
Yeah. I do want to be clear that I am not anti-goldfish.
I like them.
They've been some of my favorite fish.
I know we've talked about three goldfish negatively. I actually really like goldfish, too.
Yeah.
They're great animals.
They're properly cared for.
Yeah.
Thank you.
30-gallon tank, okay, maybe a 20-gallon tank minimum for some of them, but 30-gallon tank minimum size for a goldfish.
Yeah.
If you're going to go buy a feeder goldfish as a pet, go buy one and put it in a 30-gallon tank and raise it up.
As long as you know somebody with a pond who it can go to.
I mean,
goldfish,
just not a bowl.
Goldfish should get 18 inches.
Yeah.
18?
Yeah.
I thought it was 12.
Okay, maybe they should get 12, they can get 18,
okay.
Is a better way to put it.
Okay.
But 12 inches, that's longer than the width of a 29-gallon tank.
You're right. Okay, I stand corrected. 30 gallons is not big enough for a common goldfish. But for some of the fancy types.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of the fancy types, because they've been stunted enough in their deformities.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not anti-goldfish, but that's okay.
No, but there are some fancy goldfish that I genuinely really like.
Wait, you have one left, right?
Yes, I have one left.
And we've gone through all of yours.
We've managed to hit everything I had.
I'm going to do my alternate because it's not a great one to end on because it was just my alternate and yours is probably better.
Yeah, I've got a pretty interesting one to talk
about. Okay, good. Yeah. So I'm going to do my alternate just because we should end it on yours. I almost wish I would have put it in my top five anyway, but The Kissing Gourami.
Thought about it.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but it quickly in my mind got beat out by Giant Gourami.
Yeah.
And then that didn't even make my list.
I had the exact same thought process. Kissing Gourami. No, wait. Maybe you could do it. Giant Gourami. It's not that interesting to talk about.
I thought about the Giant Gourami as well. The only reason I chose the Kissing Gourami is because they're so common.
Mm-hmm.
And Giant Gouramis, you gotta look. You can find a Giant Gourami pretty easily if you want to. But Kissing Gouramis, you're gonna see if you go look at a store.
Yeah.
They're gonna be around. So first of all, the kissing behavior. It is not affection. It is a territorial display between two males. The ones that are kissing, those are two males. That is the equivalent of rams slamming against each other to establish dominance. Once they've established that dominance, the kissing behavior goes away. So if you're buying these fish because you want to see them do that really interesting behavior, it's cute.
They love each other.
They do. No, they are two males trying to decide who's the tougher male by slamming their mouths against each other. That's what that behavior is. And then they get 12 to 15 inches long. So 90 gallons really isn't big enough. Maybe 180 gallons. I guess if somebody wanted, like, that's okay. I think they're really interesting, boring brown fish. I mean, really interesting fish anyway. 180 gallons? Yeah. Not when they get big.
Oh, really?
No,
I've never seen a full-size one.
Right.
I just, even the pink, there are so many way prettier pink fish than that, like,
right.
Pale.
Well,
yep.
And I'm throwing this out there as the antibanted guy in the group.
Uh-huh.
Behaviorally one of the most boring antibanted
right.
out there.
Yeah, at that rate, just go huge and get a giant gourami because they're more interesting.
Yeah.
You could make the argument for the giant gourami because they are an antibantoid.
Yeah.
And they can live in less desirable conditions because of the labyrinth organ in there.
Yeah. That's
so,
why I pulled them off my list.
Yeah. Yeah. So I put them on the list as this discussion has happened. It maybe should not have been the alternate. Maybe I should have pulled. See, I don't know which one I would have pulled out. So
there's so many
there
good
go.
Ones to talk about.
There
and
are.
And you're
there
not
are.
Gonna see it here
I
unless
mean,
you talk to us about
I had
it.
Stuff that I removed from my list that I was like,
I know, right? Yeah.
Well, my last one is a fish I consider to be an ideal aquarium fish, but still one that you probably won't see here, at least for the foreseeable future. I put the denizen barb down.
Interesting.
The denizen barb is an endangered species.
Uh-huh.
And in large part due to the aquarium hobby.
It's one of the few.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the areas that it comes from are well protected anyway.
Right.
So habitat loss is always going to be, to me, the driving force
mm-hmm.
behind most species that
mm-hmm.
are becoming endangered. But
to those that don't know, it's an Indian native.
Yes. Yeah, an Indian fish. But the overfishing by the aquarium hobby is greatly responsible.
And that's very
that
well
fish.
Documented. That's
yes.
not like anecdotal.
No.
Like, it's not like.
Pretty much every story you ever see about a fish that's endangered and it's because of the aquarium hobby, usually it isn't.
Yeah.
Crawfish, yellow tangs are all examples
yeah.
I can think of.
Galaxy
yeah.
rasbora and
galaxy
freshwater
rasbora.
And the red-tailed shark. Which
yeah.
the red-tailed shark is actually extinct in the wild and the only reason it exists is because of the aquarium hobby.
So there are some.
Same with the white cloud, not minnows. They're extinct in the wild too.
White clouds are?
White clouds are
yeah.
extinct in the wild.
I did not know that.
They only exist because of the aquarium hobby.
Yeah, and are thriving in the
oh,
aquarium
yeah.
hobby.
Oh, yeah.
But denizens are captive bred, but in small quantities right
okay.
now. So you can still see them listed at a lot of online vendors who sell fish. They're always out of stock. If you see them somewhere, you should ask a question about it.
Make sure it confirmed
yes.
that it's...
Yes, and the
yeah.
the people who are selling them, the people who have them, should be able to tell you whether they're captive bred or not.
So we have had the captive bred ones here.
Yeah.
And when we can get them...
We do. Yeah. But
yeah.
you're still, at this point, pretty unlikely to
yeah.
see them unless we get lucky and find one.
So that is one of the few fish that's been brought up today that you can't argue with the ethics of keeping or purchasing wild-caught denizen barbs.
Right.
You could argue the rest of these fish, but I don't think you can argue that one. Now,
no.
it does need to be prefaced by tank-raised versus wild-caught.
Right.
which is a whole
race thing isn't the norm right now in the hobby.
In freshwater.
For freshwater, definitely.
Well, I mean, tank race, Denison barbs isn't the
right.
norm.
Right.
Yeah. I think at this point, they're just really not that available because
yeah.
they're not there to get.
Are they officially CITES listed?
There's been no CITES study on them, but they are
okay.
IUCN listed as endangered.
Okay.
So, and that was as of 2010? Let me
I was like, it was a while ago.
As of 2010, they were listed as endangered, and there has been no data since then.
Okay.
So, as far as we know, they may not even be out there anymore. That's 10 years ago.
But they keep becoming available.
They keep becoming available, but through our suppliers, those are always captive bred. Everywhere
There's
that I see them listed.
There's a reason why things like panda barbs are becoming more common in the hobby. They come from the same rivers. They're not finding Denison barbs, so they're catching what they can find.
That makes sense. Yeah.
From my understanding of the way that those fisheries operate, and there are some people we could probably ask that would know more about it, if they were there, I think they would still be catching them.
So now you've contradicted yourself a little bit, because you've talked about the availability of fish is there, and if they're available and they don't know, they're probably wild caught. But you've also talked about the only ones we could get now probably are captive bred.
Part of it is just that it's something that we don't have an understanding
of. Know.
So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if you
yeah.
see them somewhere, if they're going to be captive bred or wild caught. I know that from our lists, the ones that we've seen in the last, let's say, year, if we have,
mm-hmm.
which it's probably only been one or two times, they have been captive bred. But we don't buy from places that would be selling wild caught endangered fish.
True.
So if I went to another store to visit, and I saw those fish, and they weren't specifically labeled as captive bred, then that's a question that I should be asking. That's the point
yeah.
I'm coming from, because
yeah.
we can't know, and the best
yeah.
that we can do is just the best that we can do.
Yeah. That's probably a perfect segue into what's the point? And one of the biggest points is, how do people know? When I was a kid and I bought my first iridescent shark, there was nobody telling me that it was going to be a 3-foot fish. There was nobody telling me, you shouldn't really be putting that into a tank. And kissing gouramis were there, and tiger shovel noses were there, and red-tailed catfish were there. And I remember running through, I want that fish, and I want that fish, and I want that fish. And there was nobody, and this was a respected store back in the day. There was nobody saying, well, why don't you tell me about your tank and you know what you're trying to accomplish here before you just go picking out all these fish that you're going to put together. And it was horrible combinations.
And is that your fault?
Is it? When I was 12?
No.
I mean, it's hard to make that distinction between, at least for me in the modern now, in the information age.
Yeah.
To make that distinction between willful ignorance and being led astray.
Yeah.
You know? Because like 30 years ago, it was a lot harder to find information.
Yes.
That's part of why I read so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a habit I got into at the time because that's what was available to me at the time.
Yeah.
And do you consider it the 12-year-old kid who couldn't find the right book 30 years ago's fault? Do you consider it the, I don't know, let's say 29-year-old woman who comes in and hasn't looked up the fish on the internet before I try and sell it to her? Or is it the fault of the people who are selling the things? And I'm really inclined to take responsibility for the things that we give to people.
Well,
yeah,
and we've had this discussion before, like, the aquarium hobby is one of the few industries out there, I'm sure there are others, I just can't think of any off the top of my head, where we, for some reason, habitually shunt the responsibility of a bad product onto the customer. Like, oh, you didn't know it was going to be a blind fish? That's your fault.
Right.
Like, you go to some hardware store and you buy a shoddy piece of equipment, that's on the producer or the person who moved that along in the distribution chain. That's not your fault for buying a hammer with a fault in it.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. So if we were going to narrow this list down, so we each have 5 total. There are a few. Were there any that are on all 3 lists?
Yeah. We all have red-tailed sharks. Red-tailed catfish.
No, I did not have that.
So you just
really?
Did. I did not.
I know. You got me thinking about
I did
it.
Not
yeah.
have that
I don't
list.
Think so, because I specifically avoided the ones that I knew you guys were going to say.
Paku or iridescent shark?
You Paku have... and iridescent sharks are both on
Neither of those on yours?
Neither of those are mine.
Well, they should
but
have
they
been.
They both could have easily been.
You and I both had feeder fish in common too, though.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Honestly, there are none that I've heard from you guys that I would say, oh, that we should pull that off, because they're all fish that you're not likely to see here for good reasons.
Yeah.
So I'd be more inclined to turn towards my list, because mine were a little bit more on the edge of, if you look at it from a certain point of view, then
you backed it up really well.
Yeah.
The flower horn is one that I don't think that I would put on the list, simply because that's only about sourcing good fish. And if we had a good source for good flower horns, there'd be no reason for us to not have some
right
for sale. If we had a
it's
good
not, source, not to say we wouldn't be arguing about it behind the scenes, you
know? Right.
Yeah.
If we had a good source for wild caught Denisonai barbs, we still wouldn't get that.
It's probably the one that I felt the most guilty including.
I think that was the best unique one on your list, personally, though.
Right.
Because it came from a perspective that I didn't think endangered fish. I just thought, what am I seeing that shouldn't be there?
Yeah.
Right.
And I haven't been to a fish store that's not here in how many years now? So I'm thinking conceptually of fish that might not belong here for certain reasons versus if I saw a flower horn in somebody's tank, I would say that's not the tank that I would set up. Not mm-hmm. that shouldn't exist. Whereas some of these definitely shouldn't.
There's not an ethical reason to not have it.
Right. Yeah, unless you want to get into the gray areas of breeding and hybrids,
yeah.
and that's a completely different conversation.
Right. Your black ranchu one's an interesting one. What would you say to, maybe you shouldn't bring this up, I'm going to anyway, pug owners, right? A pug, a dog that has a really hard time breathing because of the shape of its face.
What would I say to pug owners, or what would I think about pug owners?
But is it the same?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't think that humans should be inventing animals that don't live easily.
Yeah. You said it so well. I was so going to argue with you. Don't live easily is well said.
Because they can survive, and a pug survives, and a pug can be happy. It's actually almost a more direct comparison to a flower horn. Some of them can breathe, but just like with fish, there's not that much regulation out there over what can you breed, what is okay
yeah.
to make.
I was surprised when you brought up the ranchu, the black ranchu specifically. I thought the dragon scale betta.
That one is less of a big deal to me because it sometimes happens and it sometimes doesn't.
Okay.
Dragon scales do tend to lose their sight over their lifespan as those scales just harden and grow over their
mm-hmm.
eyes. But it doesn't always happen. And at least if you're buying it from a store and not from a breeder, it's not a strict definition. It's a range of dragon scales where it's, well, this just has iridescent scales. And then this has, like, hard scales that are already starting to grow over their eyes. So it falls in the same category, but isn't as clear to me as the ranchu, where
okay.
it's sort of just assumed, and it is for dragon scales too, but it is just sort of assumed that it's okay for that to happen. And it is a little true of ranchus in general that the wen shape on a ranchu is supposed to be flat and on top of its head, so for it to grow over its eyes isn't really that much of a stretch. And some of them either seem to have really
yeah.
deeply recessed eyes or don't have them at all. It's hard to tell. There's no central organization out there that I could find that says these are the defects that it can have. There's probably an organization like that that makes those determinations. I was mostly researching about hobbyists' opinion on it. And the opinion seems to be that it doesn't matter.
It's not like a betta breeding where the International Betta Congress has made like an international standard for like,
yeah,
this is a major fault in this
right.
line or something like that, you know.
It might be out there for goldfish, but I couldn't find it easily.
That's an interesting one. I
but because
I get the controversy, but the fish blind in an aquarium with somebody putting food in front of its face can live just fine. Does it live well? Ooh, tough judgment call.
Right.
Right? Really tough judgment call. Does a school of neon tetras in a 10-gallon tank live well? How do we know that?
Yeah.
How do we be the judge of that? And I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right.
I'm not like, no, we're going to keep them. We're going to have those in the store.
But part of why I wanted to talk about it is because it's something that isn't talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I've managed to run across it on a forum and, you know, somebody just posted, hey, this fish looks weird. Why? And everybody chimed in saying that that's what it is. So just
right.
having issues like that be something that we talk about as a hobby versus specific people talk about in enclosed areas that are just for them, I think is important.
I don't disagree. Charles, anything that you take off of your list?
I'd be willing to argue arowanas. But the other ones I'm pretty set on: iridescent sharks, paku, red-tailed catfish, and feeder goldfish. I'm kind of...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the smaller iruanas, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't. It's never a fish I've been interested in to do.
For me, it was kind of a fringe decision for myself, but it's just previous experiences made me think that it's way too popular.
Yeah.
So a couple other alternates: common plecos.
Mm-hmm.
I thought real hard about that.
I thought about it. I thought about talking about that video of in Florida of like thousands of them.
Yep. But then I thought about somebody with a 180-gallon South American cichlid tank and thought, you know, common pleco is just fine in that tank.
Yep.
I would say part of the common pleco thing is just they're so available. So how do you say that you can't?
The overuse is the challenge. Especially there's another good alternative.
They have to go somewhere.
I mean, there's a difference between overuse and shouldn't be there.
Yeah,
I agree.
Common pleco is a specialty fish.
It should be a common pleco.
We have four of them right now that are rescues.
Right.
And we can find a place for them to go where they'll be able to live out their lives just fine. But if they weren't traded in, would we have them? No.
No. But we have about 30 bristlenose plecos that will sell really well. And that is a fantastic algae-eating pleco.
Yes.
Breeds readily in captivity. I think that's one of the big takeaways. How many of these fish that people keep, is there an alternative that's so much a better choice?
Right.
The paku, silver dollar. The iridescent shark, if we can get our hands on it, we're going to find those fish and we're going to come up with we came up with a name. But that needs to be like the standard instead of the iridescent shark. Tiger shovelnose. I could see somebody arguing for the Lima shovelnose because they max out at about 15 inches.
Mm-hmm.
They're an ambush predator. They imitate a stick. So we're just going to hang right here and not move a whole lot. The clown knife, there are other knife fish that are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Feeder goldfish, we've got the good alternative for that. Kissing gouramis, got the good alternative for that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe big catfish could be the category. Have you ever seen the episode of Bird Monsters with the Goonch catfish?
I never watched that show.
It's quite possible that they've eaten people. I have seen those show up on wholesale lists for aquariums.
That's wild to me.
Giant catfish, why would you do that?
Like, isn't the gulper cat a smaller one that has a lot of those same characteristics, too?
Yeah, but gulper cats max out at, like, 10 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're really
like,
cool.
If you want a big, ridiculous catfish, a gulper cat is pretty ridiculous. You could feed that thing anything. And
you could even argue, could you find something more ridiculous than a gulper cat?
Hmm.
I'm not sure a readily catfish. In the hobby.
Right. Right. What about yours, Amy?
For any of these, there are all sorts of beautiful, fancy goldfish that don't have those issues. All sorts of gorgeous barbs that you could do. Yes, and captive raised denison barbs. And really, there's no issue with denison barbs. You just ask the question.
Yep.
Yeah. There are plenty of large cichlids that you could do instead of a flower horn that are just as pretty and natural fish and less prone to breeder issues.
The hybrid topic, one that we address here soon.
One that we're deliberately avoiding now because we'd really like to get into it.
It's like each of us has very strong opinions on it.
That could be. Well, maybe that's a good segue into the next edition of the Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast.
If you disagree with us, please let us know.
Please.
Because we'd love to talk to you about it, and we can be wrong.
Remember, we'll keep the conversations fun. We'll keep the conversations civil.
Yes.
And we'll keep the conversations civil. Did I say that twice already? I think that was on purpose.
Always important to understand that everybody's coming from a different set of values. And for a lot of this stuff, it's a philosophical question and not always a scientific question. So leaving room for disagreement is important.
Agreed.
As much as we try to make it clear cut. The reality is it's not.
It would be great if it was just black and white.
We wouldn't be here if it was.
Yeah. But thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
In the meantime, keep it fun. Keep your hands wet.
Absolutely.